Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
The title of my message today is Vision Church Chapter 1, or Chapter 1 for short. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. So if you would turn there, that'd be great. But before I get into any of this, the title of this chapter is AI Defeats the Israelites. And before this, we gotta be on the same page. I gotta give you a timeline. Because before this, the Israelites had seen victory after victory after victory after victory. So how did they end up this way? How do we get to AI defeats the Israelites? How do we get to this place? Let me give you a quick timeline. So it started with Moses freeing and leading the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt, right? After that, the angry Egyptians chased after the Israelites, right? They wanted their blood, and they pinned them up against the Red Sea. By the power of God, Moses led them through the Red Sea into the Promised Land, closing it on their enemies. While they were on the other side, they roamed the wilderness for about 40 years. And the Bible says that every single day, God supplied them with manna, sustenance for them to eat every single day for 40 years. After that, Moses had died, and God gave them a new leader. His name was Joshua. And Joshua led them into the Promised Land, into a city called Jericho. Y'all remember Jericho, right? And while they were there, their voices literally brought down the walls of the city. Not to mention, the craziest part is there are giants that live in Jericho. And a bunch of guys whose average height was about 5'5" back then defeated the giants that lived in Jericho amongst the other people. And after that, they ended up at AI, ready to conquer this city, right? You think by now their chests are like pumped up, like I'm ready to go, like we got this. Like we've been blessed, God is with us, the wind is at our back, like let's go. But the title of the chapter is AI Defeats the Israelites. Why? Let's unpack this today. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7. This is what the Bible says. But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of the dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. The Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Do you have any English teachers in here? I don't know about y'all. We got one. I don't know about y'all, but I wasn't the best English student, but I know that you're not supposed to start a sentence, never mind a chapter, with the word but. There's a rule against that. I forget what it is. But it starts with but, and the youth pastor me really wants to make a joke right now, but I have to remind myself that this is big boy church and I would get in trouble. It starts with a but, right? But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. Where does this come from? And part of the reason it's written this way is because when the Bible was put together, we put in the chapters and the verses so that we can more easily navigate it. It wasn't written that way. So let's look at the chapter before it. Let's look at the verse right above it. It's 6:27. So, but Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. 6:27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his reputation spread throughout the land. But Israel violated the instructions. See, what this is teaching us is that you could be a Christian of God. Heck, you could be highly favored. You might even have a King James Bible, like you're that anointed, right? Maybe you have a lot of vacations planned this summer and you're excited about it, made possible by that job that God gave you. Like, you are highly favored. You got a good house. You have a great wife, a great family. But the moment that you violate the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord, you will always enter a chapter of defeat. See, I believe God is calling each one of us to set aside something for him this season. So when I was when Pastor Tyson came up to me to ask me to pray, ask me to preach today, I was like, all right, God. I went into my room, I put on some worship music, I sat there and I was like, God, just speak to me like a flood. Come on, just let it come out. And I'm waiting. And then God speaks this to me. He says, chapter one. So I'm like, you got anything else? Chapter one. So I'm like, all right, let me dig a little bit deeper. Surely maybe he's talking about Matthew chapter one. That's the gospel. I've done that one before. I could do that one, God. But that wasn't it. So I'm like, well, maybe it's Genesis, the first book in the Bible, the origins of mankind. Like, I could do that. I've done that one before. I could do that, God. But that wasn't it. But then the Lord revealed to me that we are in chapter one. That Vision Church is in chapter one. You say, how can we be in chapter one? Vision Church has been around for like 8.5 years. How are we in chapter one? That doesn't make any sense. We've had revival services. People have given their lives to Christ. Baptisms. Like, how are we in chapter one? I've been here for a while. But what I believe God is telling us is that he's just getting started. That everything that we've seen thus far is just a speck on top of an iceberg of what he's getting ready to do in this city through this church. He's just getting started. He's not done yet. He's only in chapter one. And I feel like I can humbly say this. Like, this has been a successful start to a first permanent campus. Like, if I told you back when we were in Metro School that we would accomplish half of what we did and not even in our first year, your brain would have just been like, exploded. It's a successful start. It's not because of us. It's because of God, right? It's been pretty successful. But what we'll learn here in this passage is that success often breeds defeat. That was true of the Israelites after Jericho, and it'll be true about Vision Church if we fall into the same exact traps. So for the remainder of this message, for the remainder of this service, I want you to ask God one question. I want you to ask God what he is getting ready to start in you this season. Matter of fact, let's just declare that corporately. Repeat after me. God, what are you getting ready to start in me this season? Look at your neighbor, tell him, get ready. Get ready. So I feel like we read this chapter, right? And this was me reading it. I was like, I put all the blame on Achan. I'm like, bro, how could you do this? How could you steal from God after everything that he's done for you? How could you do that, man? That's dumb. But really, Achan is a microcosm of all of the Israelites. Yeah, sure, it is his fault that they lost the battle. But Achan is just a microcosm of all of the Israelites. They started to build their own promised land. And they started to believe that it was them doing the miracles. And they no longer needed God. Let's turn to Joshua 7:2. This is what the Bible says. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Bethaven. When they returned, they told Joshua, there's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all of our people struggle to go up there. Let's give some people a break. We don't need everyone. We got this. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. Everybody say soundly defeated. They were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear over this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Joshua and the elders of Israelites tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed face down on the Ark of the Covenant, before the Ark of the Lord until evening. You all ever been so sad and upset that you just threw dust on your face? I'm just kidding. I knew that wasn't going to be relatable. That's just a joke. But they were sad. This is what Joshua says. He says, "Oh, sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you're going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side." It's big sad. It's real sad. But see, the Israelites started to believe that it was them. They never consulted God. They started to believe that they could do the miracles on their own. But see, my prayer and my message today is that our church would never fall into that same trap, because churches are falling into that trap every single day. Let me remind you of something. You're literally standing on a miracle right now. Do you have any realtors in the building? Anyone do that for a profession? What's up, Joshua? So let me ask you a question. In this market, how often does somebody win a property if they're not the highest and best offer? Never. Never, unless a miracle happens, right? We weren't the highest nor the best offer for this building, but God gave it to us. It wasn't us, it was a miracle. We are standing on a miracle. And God's not done yet. God's not done performing miracles, and God wasn't done with the Israelites either. How do I know this? Because this is where we are in the Bible right now. This is how much is left. See, yes, they saw the blood of the lamb protect their firstborn child at Passover, but the Passover lamb hadn't even been born yet. Yeah, sure, God led them through the waters, but the one who would walk on water hadn't even taken his first steps yet. Yes, God had freed them from slavery and torture, but the one who would defeat sin in the grave and save mankind from the shackles of sin hadn't even preached his first sermon yet. God wasn't done with the Israelites yet. He's not done with them, and he's not done with our church. Look at your neighbor telling God's not done yet. Just get ready. And God's not done with vision either. Our first baptism service about a couple weeks ago was incredible. We saw 27 people get baptized in the waters. I mean, that's incredible. But that was just the beginning. Last week at Vision Youth, we saw 6 students give their lives to Christ. Come on, somebody. But that was just the beginning. Before that, we fed 100 teachers at the high school down the street and talked to them about the life-changing message of the gospel and were invited back. That doesn't happen in a public school. That was a miracle, but that was just the beginning. Before that, we walked the streets and we asked people if we could just pray for them. And people literally repented and gave their lives to Christ. That was a miracle. That wasn't us, but it was just the beginning. Y'all, it's been successful. We've seen a lot of successes. We can admit that. But if we're not careful, successes can often breed defeats. And there's three ways that I believe that happens. Three main ways that successes can breed defeat. The first way is that successes can often cause us to cut spiritual corners. Think about it. After Joshua had experienced the loss at Ai, he was literally mourning in front of the Ark of the Covenant, the same Ark that he didn't even consult before the battle, right? Because it's easier to pray when we need something than when things are going well. It is. It's easier. And if you look at the journey of the Israelites throughout Joshua and really throughout the entire Bible, there was a pattern, right? They would consult the Lord in some way. Then they would consecrate themselves, ready themselves from battle, abstaining things from things that are unholy. Then they would be obedient, and God would grant them the victory. And then it says after that, there was a period of rest and celebration in that land that they just conquered. That was the pattern. But see, when things are going well, we like to skip the consecration and the consultation and go straight to the period of victory and rest. That's not the way it works. That's not the pattern. Why? Because obedience is hard. And this is never more true than the church in the summer. Why? Because we're living it up. We're traveling. The coronavirus, you know, the restrictions have been lifted. We're getting ready. We know we're going here. We're going to Jamaica. We're taking all these trips. And we forget about going to church. We forget about the things that are supposed to be set apart for God. My wife works for Delta. And she told me this. She said that this year, the airline industry is expecting the largest travel boom since the end of World War II. Listen, I'm not knocking you guys for traveling. I'm not trying to make you feel bad for booking your vacation. Heck, me and my wife just got back from Puerto Rico, and it was incredible. Any Puerto Ricans up in here? We got one. Let's go. We just got back from Puerto Rico. It was incredible. Y'all, I found out that brown people can get a sunburn. So if you see me later, I'm not ashy. I just got a sunburn. But it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it, and I loved it. Take a vacation, take a trip. Heck, take two, take three. Enjoy the new freedoms that we have. But when does vacationing and living my best life become violating the instructions about the things that are supposed to be set apart for the Lord? Come on. I'm not saying don't take advantage of our new freedoms, but maybe don't put Jesus in the trunk this summer. Let him drive. Think about it. If the miracle of Vision Church happened during a lockdown in the middle of a pandemic, imagine how God can use this church after one. Come on. Imagine how he can use us to reach the city after one. I get it. We need rest. We need a break. We need to chill out. I get that we need those things sometimes. But have you guys ever been on a vacation before? Like, and it doesn't matter if it's like 3 days or like 35 days. When you get back home, you're always like, I just need one more day. If I just had like one more day of rest, then I would be fully rested. It doesn't even matter how long the vacation was. It might be because you're looking for rest in the wrong places. God says to draw near to me all those who are weak and weary and need of rest. Draw near to me. God is the source of rest, not the world. You might be looking for rest in the wrong places. There's only one well that never runs dry, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave you with this, and then we're going to move on. But Jesus is worth everything that you're afraid of missing out on this season. Reason number two. Reason number two that success can often breed defeat is that it causes us to lose sight of value and our priorities. Let's pick up in Joshua 7:19. Joshua 7:19. That's what the Bible says. So the Lord had revealed to Joshua who caused them to lose the battle. He revealed to him that it was Achan. This is what Joshua says. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling me the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent with the silver buried deeper than the rest." Remember that part. So Joshua sent some men to make a search. They ran to the tent and found the stolen goods hidden there, just as Achan had said, with the silver buried beneath the rest. They took the things from the tent and brought them to Joshua and the Israelites. Then they laid them on the ground in the presence of the Lord. Then Joshua and all the Israelites took Achan, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, daughters, cattle, donkeys, sheep, goats, tent, and everything he had, and brought them to the valley of Achor. Then Joshua said to Achan, "Why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will now bring trouble on you." And the Israelites stoned Achan and his family and buried their bodies. Graphic. Harsh. Everybody say, that's harsh. That's harsh. But that's what happened. See, but Achan had a value and priority problem. Remember those coins? 200 silver coins back then was worth about $1,500. And a bar of gold is worth, in today's dollars, about $40,000. Yet he took more effort in hiding the coins than he did the gold. Why? He had a value problem. Not to mention, he stole from an eternal God in exchange for a temporary prize. He had a value problem. I'm going to explain it to you like this. If you're saved today and you're taking notes, write this down. That was a joke. My wife said not to say it clearly. I should have listened to her. It wasn't that funny. But if you're saved today and you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Write the word busy down on your paper, on your phone, wherever it is. Write the word busy down. Now you type A people are gonna hate me for this one, but cross it out. Cross out the word. Because busy is not a real thing. Nobody is actually has ever been too busy for something. Busy is not a real word. We simply make provisions for the things that matter to us, right? We have a priority list about things that we value, right? We have a priority list because we value something. We're not busy. We just value something else greater. So, fellas, next time she tells you she's busy, she might... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But, right? We have an order to things, right? We're never too busy. We're just doing something that is more valuable. Let me explain it to you like this. We don't play Xbox all day instead of going to work, right? We decide to go to work because work is more valuable. It's how we feed our families. It's how we put food on the table. It's how we pay our rent. Work is more valuable to us than playing Xbox, which is why we go to work instead of playing Xbox all day, right? Let me explain it to you another way. My wife is a flight attendant. She works for Delta. And when she comes home, she likes to have a clean house. So married folk, you know what I'm about to say. I make sure that that house is clean instead of going to play Topgolf with my friends because I value my marriage. I value my wife more than Topgolf, even though I love Topgolf, right? There's an order to things because we value certain things more than others. We simply make time and provisions for things that matter. But I hear this all the time. People always come up to me and say, MJ, you know what? I'm going to take a step back from serving this season. I got to focus on my family. I just had kids. They're crying all the time. I just have to take a step back. Or, man, I just got married, and it's really not going the way I thought it would go, and I feel like I just need to take a step back and just focus on that for a little while. And I never judge those people. I never do. I pray for them. But in my head, I'm like, homie, what? Are you serious? You're going to take your family? If you really valued your family, you would bring them to the place where marriages are literally restored every single week, where kids are taught to follow Jesus every single week. You would bring them in here if you really valued them. Breakthroughs happen here every single week. If you valued your family, you bring them to church. You'd serve. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, to set your minds on the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. Why? Because God will take care of the things on earth so long as you focus on him. Yes. Romans 14:13 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Amen. Don't let temporary successes or problems skew your priorities or sense of what is really valuable. Reason number three is that we believe God's power is limited. Reason number three that successes can often breed defeats is because we believe God's power is limited. And sadly, a lot of Christians believe this today. And I don't know why. I don't know what churches are preaching this, but it's not the truth. Some Christians believe that there's some passage in here that says God no longer does miracles. People are no longer healed. You know, baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen anymore. That is all a lie. I don't know who taught you that, but if you believe that today, that is a lie. God is risen. Jesus Christ is risen, and he's still a miracle-working God. It's not the case. That was just in biblical times. And for Achan, he was like, that was just at Jericho. God's done. He's no longer a miracle-working God anymore. But can I tell you something? God is still a miracle-working God, but sometimes we're just too impatient to be obedient. I don't know who that's for. Hear this all the time. Like, MJ, you know, I just got to take a break right now. I'm just building my empire. I'm selling these essential oils, and I just got to grind a little bit more and get this bonus. I'm like, bro, please don't sell any to me. But like I'm just building my empire right now. And I just got to get this promotion. Man, I just got to get me a husband or a wife. I got to get me my Boaz. Like, girl, that's a good thing. Get you your Boaz. Get you your husband. Get you your man. But listen to this, church. When we build our families, our relationships, our house, on things stolen from God, you and everything you built will end up like Achan's. Proverbs 14:11, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent, everybody say tent, the tent of the godly will flourish. What are you building this season on? And is it at the expense of the things that are supposed to be set apart for the Lord? Is it at the expense of your time? What are you setting? What are you building this season on? Can I be real with y'all? I just feel like I need to say this today. And this isn't really in my notes or anything like that, but I just felt like I needed to say this today. But just because I'm on a stage, just because I have a microphone, doesn't mean that I'm any more anointed or favored than you are. We both have an anointing. We both have a calling in Jesus Christ. And yours is just as important as mine. You know how this all started? You know how we received the calling to be a pastor? I'm going to tell you the story. It's hilarious. So I'm literally at Midnight Diner. You guys have ever been at Midnight Diner before? Anybody here been to Midnight Diner? So I'm at Midnight Diner, and I'm with Pastor Tyson. And this is before I was a youth pastor, before any of that stuff. And I had run a small youth ministry called Longboard Outreach. And we're talking about how we could bring a youth ministry to Vision Church because we didn't have one. And I'm sitting there, I'm eating my shrimp and grits, happy. And then Tyson speaks a prophetic word to me. He says, you are called to be a pastor. And I was just like, what? Like, I was like, oh, this is getting a little weird. This guy doesn't really know me. He's gonna start like speaking in tongues in the middle of midnight diner. Like, check, check, please. Like, let me get out of here. But then I began to pray and I said, God, if this is really of you, I'm gonna set some time aside for you to work through me, for you to build me into what you want me to be. And not too long after that, after I stepped out into that calling, after I made time for God, he began to mold me and shape me into something that I thought I was never going to become. So 4 years later, I'm a volunteer now at Vision Church at this point. And 4 years later, I'm like, I feel like God, I feel like you didn't bring me this far to just keep me as a volunteer. I feel like you want me to be in full-time ministry somewhere. So I started to pray to God. I'm like, God, do you want me to stay at Vision or do you want me to go somewhere else? And I grew impatient. It was only like 3 days, but I grew impatient. I didn't hear from the Lord. So I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna handle this myself. So I started to apply to ministry jobs. It's crazy, y'all. Three churches were crazy enough to offer me a job. It was wild. So I'm about to get on the phone. Well, I'm on the phone with one of these churches. And they asked me, they're like, MJ, you know, we're excited about this. What's your answer? And before I could say anything, God stopped me. He grabbed my tongue and he said, where are you going? I'm not done yet. This is only chapter one. I'm not done yet. He's just getting started. That church that you're going into, it might be old, but I'm getting ready to do a new thing in that place. It might be a little scary. It looks like it's decaying. There's asbestos tile in the floors. We don't have that anymore, by the way. We got rid of that. Your kids are safe at Vision Youth. For the most part. But it's decaying, and I'm speaking prophetically now, but you haven't even had your first marriage conference where decaying marriages are brought back to life yet. That hasn't even happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. We haven't seen nothing yet. We're still in chapter one. You see, the Lord made a way for me where there was no way. There was no way for me to be on staff at Vision Church, but the Lord made a way. And I wonder if you would be bold enough, if you would be crazy enough to take that first step into what God is calling you into this season. What would chapter two look like? There's a blessing waiting for you on the other side of obedience, but are you willing to step out in faith? So we know that successes can breed defeats. But how do we breed victories? First way is we stay humble. Acknowledge that every good and perfect thing comes from God, right? God resists the proud, but gives favor to the humble, gives victory to the humble. And actually, we're getting ready to step into this. There's going to be a new sermon series starting next week called Stay Humble. How many of you guys love Pastor Tyson's sermon series? I know I do. I'm pumped for that. So make sure you're here for that next week. Stay humble. We're going to dive into that a little bit deeper. The second way is that we must consult with God. Y'all, prayer needs to be a lifestyle choice of yours. It's not a spare tire. It's a steering wheel. Prayer needs to be a lifestyle. Pray and consult with God. Consult with him about how he would have you be obedient with your time in this season. There's a blessing on the other side of that obedience. But are you patient enough to follow his process? The third way is to be bold enough to take that first step. Take that first step into what God has called you into. It might sound crazy, and oftentimes that's what God is. He doesn't exist. He doesn't work in the normal. He works in the paranormal. His ways are above ours. So that voice that you're hearing about what God is trying to do in you, that probably is God. Just because it sounds too crazy doesn't mean it's actually a crazy idea. It might just be what God is trying to do through you in this season. Maybe you want to start a ministry. And listen, I've been to a lot of churches where we if you want to start a ministry or another church, we like just to shun you away. Like we're competitive, but that's not how we are at Vision Church. If you want to start another church or you want to start a ministry of some sort, we want to support you. Maybe that first step looks like understudying Tyson or me or some of the other pastors here. Maybe that's your first step so that we can teach you and equip you and prepare you for what you're about to walk into. Maybe that first step is re-examining your calendar and setting aside time for God instead of making him pick over the leftovers. But the reality is, for many of you, that first step is repentance. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you stepped away from the faith. Maybe you got some stuff under your tent. But I want to read something to you. It's John 3:16, but it's in the NLT. So if you have the Bible app, go to John 3:16 and read it from the NLT. This is what it says. For this is how God loved the world. He gave what? Something that was valuable to him. His most precious possession, his one and only son. It was valuable to him, but he gave it up for you for the chance that you might accept him one day. It was valuable. God gave. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, like the Israelites and Joshua judged Achan, not to condemn you, but to save the world through him. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you stepped away from the faith for a little while, or maybe you've never known God. Maybe you've just been pretending this entire time. You know who he is, but you don't know God. I don't know, but I want to give you that opportunity to repent today, because one act of repentance, one prayer can bring you back into good standing with God. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is a very intimate time in our service today. I want you to pray something like this in the stillness of your heart. Pray this. Dear Heavenly Father, I know today that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. God, I got some stuff under my tent. And I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. Save me. And in exchange, I will spend my life following you. I believe that you died for my sin and rose again 3 days later, declaring victory over sin in the grave. And I want that same victory in my life.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you'd like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.